two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Players Club. The Zone's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU, as BYU quarterback Jaren Hall joins Unrivaled.
Touchdown!
For an insider look at the Cougar football team, this is 97.5 1280 The Zone.
The best station.
Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome on in. It's another edition of the Players Club right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, and current BYU quarterback Jaren Hall joining us on the program. Another week in the books. And no big deal, BYU goes down to the Coliseum and gets a W on the last offensive drive of the game. A touchdown from Jackson McChesney, and just exactly the way it was dialed up, I'm assuming, Jaren. Congratulations on the W. You guys are 10-2 on the season. Awesome, awesome regular season for you guys.
Yeah, it's been fun, man. I think I think when the season's over and we'll look back on this, I think as a team we'll be very proud of, you know, the team ball we played all year long, how complimentary we were, and just playing all-around good football, you know, first game to the end. So it's been fun, and we're looking forward to one more.
The Coliseum, probably one of the most iconic venues, sporting venues in the world. It's hosted Olympics, Super Bowls, the whole thing. Well, and I think it's really
it's a cool place to be.
Mm-hmm. What were your impressions of playing there and just initially seeing it and being on that stage and in that arena?
Yeah, it blew me away. I mean, you hear so many things about it growing up as a sports fan of any sport, you know, whether you watch Olympics or you watch football, you know the history of it and everything that goes on at USC itself. And just walking in the Coliseum, how big it is, the walk down the tunnel to it, it's just everything, and it's more than what you imagine hearing about it. So when you actually see it for yourself and you're standing there in the middle of the Coliseum, when you walk out the tunnel, you hear the fans, it's pretty wild. It was cool.
One of the weird storylines that came out of all this was that the USC athletics department had to issue an apology for their student section. And the chant. Did you hear the chants going on during the game? You did hear it.
I heard that. Well, I didn't hear many all night, but I did hear that one.
What did they say?
Blankety blank, the Mormons.
See, Scott's seen it. Scott's heard it. Scott goes, oh, that one.
Exactly. So I don't think anybody was offended by that. I mean, they're college kids being college kids trying to get under skin. So,
but does that stuff motivate you, or do you look at it and go, oh boy, this is something the school's probably just not going to be very happy about, which they weren't, but you know, that's
I don't know if it motivates, but it just kind of makes you laugh, honestly. It put me in a good mood hearing it. It just kind of relaxed me, made me laugh a little bit hearing
that.
You know, it's just that's college sports, that's what you're going to get.
The thing that annoys me is the band.
Oh,
just
my
playing
God. That song, man. That song.
Hey,
boys, we played it all week at practice.
Oh,
my
gosh. Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, because they come out
awful
before the game and get right behind your sideline, and they just play the heck out of that song.
I mean, it's a great song growing up. It's always on, you know, the NCAA football playlist when you play on the video game. That's always one of the two songs. But then you hear it all week in practice and then all game. It's like, all right.
Well,
we're done.
I guess I want to go to the game itself, and we'll kind of chat about the season overall a little bit too, since we're getting into the bowl season. But on Saturday night, I mean, it got to the point where you guys had a couple of moments. I'm trying to think of probably 28-13 when you threw that 41-yard touchdown to Keanu Hill, and it seemed like everybody else. So watching it on TV, and I don't know if you've seen the highlight yet, Jaren, but if you go back and watch it on TV, when the camera pans, you don't see any guy in white and royal blue until you see a couple of safeties and stuff, and I'm going, oh, no, there's no one back there. And then, boom, Keanu just comes streaking through there. So describe that play and kind of what you saw and what led you guys to that play in that particular moment.
It's one of our core plays in our offense, you know, with all of our playmakers getting downfield, and it's just a high-low on the safety. And in that particular coverage, he was one high, so he should have been the post. But all game, we just felt like he wasn't getting back enough. And so he was kind of flat-footed on that, not running, but backpedaling back. And so I just said, heck with it. I'll throw it over his head. And Kebo got there, and it worked out.
And he thought that he was still going to get
it,
too.
Yeah, he did, but he couldn't find the ball.
He was backpedaling like, here it is.
Bad position. So, but he got me on the second one. So, I mean, hey, I guess 50-50.
So you mentioned last week, you talked about, you know, they got a lot of dudes, right? Mm-hmm, USC and all that stuff. What surprised you about them?
Look fast on film, and we knew they'd be fast playing some other Pac-12 teams that they play often. And you know, remembering the ASU game, Utah game, what it was like. But I think that game was even faster. Those guys were even bigger and stronger than the teams we played. I think that was the most physical defensive line and backing core we played all year. I mean, they were coming upfield. They were, I mean, they had bad intentions all night. But our line did a good job keeping them at bay for the most part. And, you know, we managed.
There were injuries that you have to deal with in game. And, like, there were some where guys were, like, kind of coming back. You know, I'm watching on the defensive side too. Guys are coming off. You can tell when they have cramps and you're going, well, you hit that pickle juice and then let's see if we can get back on the field.
Yep, exactly.
But there were times too where you're going, man, I mean, Tyler Allgeier goes over the century mark in a game where it looked like he was just a rag doll. He was just going, he was just getting absolutely battered around.
Yeah.
But he kept coming back in the game, kept coming back in the game. Talk a little bit about what it is like to have him in the huddle in that situation where it was like, look, we have to hand the ball off to you because you're the guy.
Yeah. I mean, Tyler's a team player. So whether we got to throw the ball or hand it off, he's always selling out. But most games, you know, than not, we're going to hand the ball off to Tyler a good majority of the time because he's what our offense really runs through, him and the offensive line. But to your point, man, he was gassed. He was beat up. And that goes to show the physicality of that USC team. I don't think many people have seen Tyler beat up like that before with how big and strong he is. But he took care of himself pretty well. But, yeah, they're a good defense. They were flying around. They didn't stop one time. So props to them. But, I mean, hey, Tyler's a workhorse, and that's why he's going to make some money one day playing football.
All right, I ask you this every week and going to ask it again. What did you learn from this game? What's the takeaway for you personally as a quarterback? What did you take out of this game?
Yeah, you got to rely on your whole team to win games. I think sometimes you get a little too focused on you know, trying to do everything at once as an offense or as a quarterback or any position. But you got to realize there's two other parts of the game, your special teams and your defense. And I think for us, you saw that as well as you have any time, our defense stepping up and playing. And it's really a weight off of our shoulders. So I think playing like that from the first snap, not getting too uptight because, you know, you got a good defense, you got good special teams. So just understand the football is a long game. And it's going to take, you know, three phases of the ball to win. And that's what we showed.
If you look at the box score, nice night for you. A couple of touchdowns, a couple of picks, which is not really like you. You're taking care of the football. Mantra is has you've really lived off of it. 20 touchdowns and 5 interceptions on the season overall means you really you still take care of the football way more than you give it up. When you saw yourself on film, or do you watch yourself on film and go, gosh dang it, I should have done X, Y, and Z? Or did you know as soon as the ball leaves your hand, like?
No, I knew it. Yeah, on the first, it was miscommunication, just the option route between me and Sam, and he sat in the right spot, and I threw him way too far outside, anticipating a little too much, not waiting for him to find his spot. So that was just an error on my behalf, just a bad throw, a little too wide. And then the second one was just a one-man route to Puka. You know, deep safety was there again, but, sometimes when you feel like Puka's Superman, you just got to realize he's not always going to be. So that's probably one just to check down or throw away on that one-man route. So they got us on those two. But, definitely something I can learn from and just, you know, remember going forward.
USC's been down this year. I mean, you know, they've had a tough year. But still USC, and it's in the Coliseum, and it's all of those things. Where does this game rank this season, like, or maybe what is the game this year that you feel was like the game that meant the most to you?
Saturday in the Coliseum. I mean, I think every game means the most to you in the moment, right? But I think looking at the things that were at risk, you know, getting a 10-win season, double-digit wins, that was the most important thing for us that night. Just continuing to prove we're a good football team. So for me, in the Coliseum, the history behind it, and playing a team that talented and that good, I mean, regardless of their record, if people, anyone who knows football could see how good that team was on Saturday night, how physical and talented. They'll have a lot of guys in the NFL. So for us to go in there in their place and pull out a win, not playing our best football, I think it says a lot about the type of team we have and about the season we've had.
We'll get into the full season a little bit next in the next segment, but I was – what was said in the locker room? What did Kalani say to you guys as a team? You know, I saw at the very end of the game when he called timeout. After USC had taken those two back-to-back timeouts, Kalani took another timeout right before that last kneel down.
Yeah.
And watching it on TV, it was this moment where I could tell that he was telling everybody to settle down, that mm-hmm. there's a little bit more class. You know, yeah. you don't do the thing where you get down to their level. They're going to get
yeah.
chippy.
Yeah.
What did he say then, and what did he say after the game about how you guys performed?
Yeah, just in that moment, just the exact thing. You know, just be smart. It happened the week before Georgia Southern. They tried some cheap things, and they were doing some stuff to try to jaw us off and get us, you know, out of our best self as a team. So he just reminded us in that moment, that timeout, which I think was smart of him, just to, you know, come back to earth, humble ourselves, and just realize it's a game. They're kids on the other side just like us. Man, we're all human. No need to talk down to each other or do this or that. So just respect the game.
I saw him tell Samson, right. Samson, keep your chin strap on. He goes, yeah, keep your chin strap on, dude. Like, yeah, dude, listen that thing
to
up.
Samson, man. He just kind of free spirit that one. No, it was good, though. Kalani, he got us straight right in the moment. And I love how he doesn't wait. You know, he doesn't chance it. He just lets us know, you know, that's the type of leader he is. He steps in. So,
the announcers made mention that maybe it's a little unclear whether you're coming back next year. What's going on in that department?
I haven't given it much thought, honestly. Again, just trying to finish out this season, and then, you know, after the bowl game, I'll, you know, talk to my dad and my wife, my family, and just kind of evaluate the season, talk with my quarterback coach, and you know, just kind of see what things look like for me. So, kind of up in the air,
So you, what's the kind of thing that would take it to where you'd want to stay versus go?
Haven't given much thought, I'm going to be real. I mean, this is so new for me. I mean, I think anybody would say the higher you can get drafted, the better, you know. So I haven't looked at any draft boards or what people are speculating. But, I haven't seen myself anywhere too high. So we'll see. We'll see what happens after this last game.
Is that an interesting thought to have in your mind? Because, and I'm just thinking from my own experience. I grew up in a small town in Utah. I mean, right where you grew
right
up
on the road. Yep.
And it was a surreal moment when I realized that, you know, I could go do that, and that was that was a real possibility.
Yeah.
Have you thought much about that? About not maybe where you would go, or when you would go, like staying in school or leaving.
Right.
But just, hey, I might have a shot to go to the next level.
Yeah, just a
chance
to do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think I've thought about that every day since I was a kid, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been a day where I haven't thought about playing in the NFL or playing in the MLB when I was doing both. And so it would be a surreal feeling, and you know, hopefully it's closer than it is far away, but we'll see what happens, you know. But I'm confident in myself, my abilities to continue to develop. I had a decent year, but there's a lot of things I need to clean up and a lot of ways I need to mature still and become a better quarterback to you know, be worth something at the next level. So I'm not blind to that, and I know I got a lot of things I got to do, but just that idea that it's possible is it's pretty cool.
Jaren Hall, Players Club right here on Unrivaled. Every week he's joined us throughout the football season. We're going to get another week with him around the bowl game, whatever that's going to end up being. We'll chat about that a little bit more too. But, Scott, I mean, as he gets to the investigation part of kind of what he wants to end up doing, he says he's going to kind of weigh in after the whole season's over and just kind of dip in with his wife and his dad and mom and kind of see where he's at, and then look at the boards. But he said, look, I don't see myself up real high on there right now on a lot of things. So
I don't think he needs to go past that. Then
that's it, right?
Right.
I mean,
it feels to me like he's not ready to go in his own mind. Not that he's not capable. Or
he
not
said he has a lot more stuff he could develop.
Yeah,
his game.
I mean, and I think that that and that's why I said what I said. I just said, look, stay and play, getting that good game experience. Because when you go to the NFL, you see where Zach Wilson, it's no joke there. It's like you better be dialed in and ready to go. And even when you're dialed in and ready to go, it's still going to be – it's going to be an adjustment. So if you're halfway even for a mega second doubting whether you should do it, don't do it. You just have to be all in.
How long is a mega second?
Oh, it's – well, I can't even say it on the air. But I will just say – I was going to, actually. I will just tell you that – man, it's fast.
In the New York minute. So the mega second is fast.
Yeah, it's like.
It's not long.
If there's just a sliver of any kind of just even remote doubt.
The old mega second.
Yeah,
the
old mega
second. I got you.
It's the metric system.
I really love it.
Millisecond?
We were trying to figure out.
Centimeter?
I think you got it. I think you got it. You should teach math. I think that's what they're teaching now is the Common Core stuff. You got it down.
I can totally do that new math.
Oh, for sure.
It's about this much. That's what it is these days. Yeah, it's somewhere
pretty close.
It's close to like.
Show me your work. That was always the worst part. I'd be like, I don't want to show you my work. Yeah. Come on. It's hard to show you my work when I cheated. Will you stop it? Jeez. I just looked off of Cindy Lou Who's paper. I couldn't see all her
Google.
Work. See, now, yeah, that's the thing. I'm fluent in Spanish, Scott. It's the saddest thing in the world. My kid doesn't ask me one thing about his Spanish homework. He's like, I got Google Translate. It's way better than you. It's awful. It's an awful world to live in. Jaron's big thing for me this year. What do you think he is improved in the most? I mean, he says every week, it's almost like broken record about taking care of the football and everything, but what's the thing that you were like, hey, you know what? I've actually – are you surprised with the success that he's had? Are you like, no, he's exactly what we thought he'd be. I mean, BYU went through this whole, we have three guys who could go deal right at the beginning of the year, but they settled on Jaron, and he's been the guy the entire year when he's been healthy.
I don't think Jaron Hall knows yet how good he is. I really don't. I don't think he has so much ability. He's so naturally gifted as an athlete and how fast he is. And I know it's all about protecting him and keeping him in the game, but I want Jaron Hall to just kind of unleash himself, to not be so buttoned up, to not be so just look. You're never going to hit home runs unless you swing for the fence. And if you're always protecting
too,
the plate, I know
guy.
If you're always protecting the plate and you're just trying to, you know, swing. Swing, bro. Just swing for the fence, and just unleash yourself. Because I think there's a guy that could, you know, and there's the comparisons to Russell Wilson.
Is he an NFL type guy? Do you think?
Well, yeah.
Will he be eventually? Do you think? Does he have it in him to become that guy?
You can't be timid, and I'm not saying Jaron Hall's timid, but game managers aren't really successful guys in the NFL. That's what I'm saying. And he's trying to be the game manager right now, and I think he could be so much.
You want him to sling more?
I do. Like Cam Rising at Utah, he brings it.
And he might not necessarily be as talented as Jaron, maybe.
But man, I'm telling you, just with effort and just swagger and playing to win and just I just Jaron did a great job, but. A lot of the success at BYU was on that running game, and I think he's the kind of talent that could carry the BYU football team.
Well, we've got part two coming up at the Players Club here with Jaron Hall. We're going to ask him a little bit about the overall season that BYU had, kind of go through a little bit of some of those highlights for him. Also ask him a little bit about that bowl game. I mean, I think they talk about it. Obviously, they do. Obviously, BYU has not accepted an invitation officially from the Independence Bowl, which might be an indicator as well.
They're exercising their independence.
That's right.
And they're taking their time.
They are.
Come on.
Good for them.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.